AG Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or talk about conspiracy theories or when the world is going to end, but we'll get you ready in case that does happen. During this show, you'll be exposed to current emergency information from government and non-government sources, and we will talk about the true important information that everyone needs to know. First aid, CPR, what is a tornado, what to do during an earthquake, how to prepare a family emergency plan, a family emergency communication plan, how to hunt, fish, how to build a fire, what to do in case of power outages. The show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and a variety of guests who will come and share their expertise with us. Nowadays, everywhere you look, someone is an expert. Just because someone writes a book or runs a blog does not make them an expert. However, my credentials? Well, they're pretty extensive with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, firefighter, correctional safety manager, area safety manager, safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA think tank, OSHA Field Councils, and HE Safety Consultants. I have received numerous awards and citations throughout my career with the United States Air Force, U.S. Department of Justice, founding member of the United States Department of Homeland Security, and the U.S. Department of Labor. What does this mean? Well, it means you'll get reliable, verifiable information, not paranoia theories. I will share the experiences I have seen in the field since 1986, and I will be able to explain some of the why things are happening. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on this show or find on csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to give you alternate information to get you to think about things and use your own common sense to make your decisions. We do suggest that you talk to your personal medical and legal advisors to help you make a well-rounded, informative decision. Our website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information than can be found on this program. The website is free, so stop on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can download or review any of the past shows from our website and comment on any of the news articles that you may see. Also, please show some love to our sponsors. It is because of them we are able to reach you and offer you this life-saving information. Our sponsors have been selected based on the quality of service they offer to our listening audience. They are the vendors that should be of most interest to you. Common Sense Preparedness' mission is not to sell you anything, but instead it is to save as many lives as we can. It is sad to hear about any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Prepare with your host, my grandpa, Tim Howard.
All right, I wanted to take this opportunity and express a little my sorrow for what happened in Connecticut, Sandy Hook Elementary School. It was a very sad day for everyone involved. And for me in particular, because my daughter is a school teacher of a kindergarten class out here in Arizona, and my grandson, who introduced the show today, he's 5 years old, this affected us very, very hard. But I want to remind everybody on one thing. Stop the debates. We do not have all the information yet. The story is changing as the days go on, so we don't know what happened. We don't know what's going on. All we know is some people were killed. Children were killed. How he got the gun, where he got the guns, should there be more gun control, or should it be gun control? None of that can be debated right now. We have to wait for all the investigation to be done, and for the evidence to come out, and then we can figure out what debates we need to have.
As for common sense preparedness, we do not get into politics. We will not get into anything. What we're going to tell you is this. If you have an incident where you have an active shooter, there is three things you need to understand and need to plan for. Always have a plan. And during an active shooting spree, those three things are run, hide, and fight. Run. Get out of the area. Get out of the building if you can. Leave your belongings behind. Once you're out, prevent others from entering that building and call 911 immediately. If you can't get out of the building, find a good hiding spot. Hide. Secure and lock doors if you can. Turn off your phones and your pagers. Hide behind large objects in case shots are fired your way. And remain quiet. Above all, remain quiet. And if those two options are not available to you, then fight. Fight with all you have. Fight for all you're worth. If your life is in danger, use improvised weapons, act as a group, and be smart about it. Don't just run into the line of fire. Attack from behind, attack from the side, bite, chew, claw, poke eyes, whatever you have to do to fight him off, or to fight him, if your life is in danger. Remember those three things. Run, hide, and fight. That's what we need to understand about the Connecticut shooting right now. USA Emergency Broadcasting Network has teamed up with Alert USA to bring you this few-minute threat analysis from their threat journal.
This is an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week of Thursday, December 6th, 2012. This week in security news, Alert USA subscribers were notified on Monday of the White House issuing a stern warning to President Assad of Syria that any use of chemical weapons in his fight against encroaching rebel forces would be met by an immediate international response. At the time of this podcast's preparation on Wednesday, Syrian forces were attempting a sustained counterattack to stem rebel gains around the capital of Damascus as the insurgency appears to be entering a decisive phase. A warning was also issued by NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen, who earlier indicated NATO members Germany and the Netherlands will supply Turkey with the Patriot missile batteries it is seeking in order to bolster its security against missile threats from Syria. Reuters News Service is reporting two sources say the U.S. has intelligence information demonstrating that Syria is making preparations to use elements of its extensive chemical weapons arsenal. Western military experts say Syria has at least four suspected chemical weapons sites and is capable of producing mustard gas and sarin and possibly a VX nerve agent. The United Nations and European Union both said they were reducing their presence in Syria in response to the escalating violence around the capital. Alert USA continues to monitor developments in the region and will provide subscribers additional details as events warrant. Also this week, 'tis the season for ballistic missile testing, and as you'll soon learn, clearly underscores the absolute need of America to maintain a robust missile defense system as well as an offensive capability, even if it's costly. 2 weeks ago, India, a skilled and capable nuclear-armed nation, ran a successful test of their own interceptor missile. That was followed last week by Pakistan, who test-launched a HAT-5, the latest in their family of nuclear-capable medium-range ballistic missiles with a range of about 1,600 miles. 2 days after the Pakistan test, China conducted yet another test launch of their DF-31A ICBM, which is capable of striking most, but not all, of the United States. Oddly, the Chinese launch of a nuclear-capable ICBM came on the last day of a joint U.S.-Chinese disaster relief exercise in Chengdu, about 1,000 miles away. Things like this don't happen by coincidence. This was the second DF-31A test flight since August and highlights China's growing strategic nuclear buildup, a modernization program largely carried out in secret. And this week, South Korean defense officials are stating that North Korea has assembled all three stages of a long-range rocket on its launch pad, the latest sign that launch preparations are in full swing. Quoting an unnamed defense official, the South Korean Yonhap News Agency reports that the North is believed to be in the final stages of preparing the pad at the Dongchang-ri base in the country's northwest, and that some workers have already pulled out of the site. With the rocket in place, the North is now expected to install support equipment such as radar, cameras, and telemetry systems before actually fueling the rocket. Should the fueling take place over this coming weekend, the rocket is expected to be launched between December 10th and the 12th. Pyongyang announced this past weekend that it will launch a long-range rocket between December 10th and 22nd to put what it calls a working satellite into orbit, though the true purpose of the launch is believed to be the continuing testing and development of ICBMs capable of delivering nuclear weapons. For those keeping track, Alert USA Threat Journal announced the upcoming launch a solid week before North Korea announced it themselves. The planned launch will be North Korea's second attempt this year. Also this week, it's not too late to vaccinate, and the CDC says that this year's flu season is going to be a bad one. For millions of people every season, the flu can mean you're hobbled for 7 to 10 days with fever, cough, and generally miserable days spent in bed. However, you may not realize that more than 200,000 people are hospitalized in the United States from flu complications each year, and that in fact thousands die from it. The CDC says flu season is ramping up early this year for the first time in almost a decade, and according to CDC Director Dr. Thomas Frieden, H3N2 is a predominant strain this year, and that is generally associated with a severe flu season. But Frieden adds that this year's vaccine is an excellent match with the influenza that's circulating. At the moment, flu activity is highest in the South. The CDC recommends everyone 6 months and older get vaccinated. Alert USA Threat Journal suggests that you also consider specifically requesting your vaccination come from single-dose containers as opposed to the larger multi-dose vials. The reason is that the vaccine for multi-dose vials contains a preservative known as thimerosal. Unfortunately, thimerosal contains a small amount of mercury. Since the 1930s, it has been used widely as a preservative in a number of biological and drug products, including many vaccines, to help prevent potential life-threatening bacterial and fungal contamination. Think about it. Every time the little rubber seal at the top of those multi-dose vials is punctured by a needle, contamination is potentially introduced. Unfortunately, while the amount of mercury in a single vaccination is quite small, mercury also happens to be one of the most toxic elements on Earth, and that vaccines with mercury have been considered to contribute to autism, learning disabilities, Alzheimer's disease, and other neurological conditions. We strongly recommend that you burrow down on the subject with your health provider for more details. Links to additional resources on this topic can be found in the email version of Threat Journal. In terrorism news, since 2002, the United States has operated military detention facilities at its naval station in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, to hold individuals detained during overseas counterterrorism operations. In 2009, the president directed the closure of these facilities within 1 year. Since then, a number of statutes have prohibited the transfer of Gitmo detainees to the United States. Some months ago, the General Accountability Office was asked by Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat from California, to review existing U.S. facilities and identify factors to be considered in the event that restrictions were lifted and Gitmo detainees were transferred to the U.S. mainland. Well, the unclassified version of the GAO report has been published, and from the looks of things, moving these prisoners to the U.S. is bad news, whatever way the government attempts to change the current setup. Basically, the report describes the current Gitmo facilities and infrastructure, then looks at both Department of Defense and Department of Justice corrections facilities here in the U.S. and the factors to be considered if they were to be used to hold the detainees. As of November 2012, the Department of Defense held 166 individuals in 5 separate facilities at Gitmo in conditions ranging from communal living to maximum security. When thinking about moving detainees to the U.S., things get complicated real fast. In just one example, the Department of Defense's current ability to minimize risks to the public is attributed to Guantanamo Bay's remote location and limited access. If you start relocating them to prisons in the United States, be they defense correction facilities or those operated by the DOJ, the potential dangers to the American public as well as DOD personnel increase dramatically. This is an eye-opening report, particularly if you live near any of the nation's larger Department of Defense or Department of Justice prisons. You can find a link to the full unclassified report in this week's email version of Threat Journal. We'd like to remind listeners that this podcast is a production of Alert USA, who for more than a decade have kept subscribers to the service safe and informed with flash notification of threats and developments of national significance sent direct to their mobile devices. It's clear that storm clouds are gathering over the U.S. In this situation, who are you going to rely upon to keep you informed of threats to you and your family? The establishment media? We encourage you to visit Alert USA and check out the service. You'll be amazed at what the mainstream media is not telling you. That's ALERTSUSA.com. In travel news, this past week has seen the U.S. government issue travel warnings for Mauritania and Eritrea due to the increased threat of terrorist actions and the general degradation of the security situation. As we warn every week, if you're planning travel anywhere outside of the U.S., you are strongly advised to check the State Department's travel website for the latest information on the security situation at your destination. And these days, this suggestion goes even if you're planning travel to Europe, Mexico, or the Caribbean. Listeners are reminded that the U.S. government currently has a worldwide caution in effect warning U.S. citizens of the continuing threat of terrorist actions and violence against U.S. citizens and interests globally. U.S. citizens are reminded to maintain a high level of vigilance and to take the appropriate steps to increase their security awareness. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week of Thursday, December 6th, 2012.
You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. We are broadcasting and can be heard on thepreppodcast.com, KPRN-DB, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at cspdb.com. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America is known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Rocky Mountain Survival Gear, your complete source for all things camping and prepping. They recognize the need of many people in the United States struggling to put together survival packs, not knowing where to start or what they need. So Rocky Mountain Survival Gear will be offering customized bug-out bags, emergency kits, and 72-hour bags to fit your specific needs. All you need to do is click on the items you need, and they'll put it together for you. Remember, once a disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. So prepare now for the future with Rocky Mountain Survival Gear. Contact them at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that's 720-244-9701.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new sponsorship from foodinsurance.com. We have looked all around at emergency food suppliers, and foodinsurance.com has become one of the most dependable and trustworthy food vendors out there. Foodinsurance.com is even offering all Common Sense Preparedness listeners special access to exclusive deals by clicking on the foodinsurance.com banner that appears on our website or by visiting foodinsurance.com/commonsense. Common Sense Preparedness finds it an honor to recommend foodinsurance.com to our listeners.
Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program, and our holiday safety crime prevention tips. Christmas is one of the highest crime times of the year. The following precautions can help you ensure the safety of you and your family. Before you go shopping, avoid carrying a purse. Use a fanny pack or deep pockets in clothing to carry what you need. Carry small amounts of cash. Carry your keys, cash, credit cards separate from each other. Wallet in the front pocket. Ensure your cell phone is fully charged before going to the store. Shop during daylight hours when possible. Avoid shopping alone. There is safety in numbers. While shopping, if you have to carry a purse, carry it close to your body and always zipped. Put the purse flap against your body and holding it with your arm. Wearing a purse under your coat. Park strategically close to the store is optimal. Park in well-lit areas. Never park next to a van. Know exactly where you parked. Make a mental note of it. Make sure you lock your car. Now, while shopping, constantly pay attention to what's going on around you. When hurried or in a crowded shop, make sure you get all forms of ID and credit card returned to you before you leave. Be aware of strangers accidentally bumping into you. Avoid carrying large packages that block your vision. Consolidate as many packages as possible. Consider having your purchases delivered to your home. Ask if the store will provide a security escort to your vehicle. Now, after shopping, leave the mall store well before closing time. Avoid shopping until you are exhausted. You are more alert when you're less tired. Have your keys in your hand before you go to the car. Hold one of the keys in between your fingers in case you are attacked and you have to fight off your attacker. Do not use your automobile door locks to locate your car. No undue attention. Check underneath it as you approach it. Check the back seat of your vehicle before you get into it. When going to the store, from store to store, keep your packages out of sight and in your trunk. Some home security. Keep gifts hidden from view through outside windows. After opening gifts, break down cardboard boxes of expensive electronics in fancy stores and put them in plastic bags to hide the fact that you have valuable items in your home. Happy holidays from Common Sense Preparedness and HE Safety Consultants.
Welcome back to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to Common Sense Preparedness at CSPDB.com.
All right, since it's that time of season again, let's talk a little bit about pandemics. The last pandemic we had was a fiasco. So with a little knowledge and education, maybe we can avoid all the misconceptions. Well, what is a pandemic? A pandemic, defined by Webster, is occurring over a wide geographical area and affecting an especially high portion of the population. Now, a little bit of history about the pandemics. The first recorded pandemic in history was the Polynesian War Pestilence of 430 BC. During the Polynesian War between Athens and Sparta, it wiped out over 30,000 citizens of Athens, roughly two-thirds of the population. Then there was the Antonio Plague of 165 AD. Historians now believe it was caused by smallpox. At the height of the disease, it was killing 5,000 people a day in Rome. By the time the disease had run its course, some 15 years later, a total of 5 million were dead. Then there was the Plague of Justina, 541 AD. It was a deadly disease of the Byzantine Empire. At the height of the infection, it killed 10,000 people in Constantinople every day. With that kind of high numbers, there was no room or time to bury the dead, so they were just left out in the open, which causes other diseases. By the end of the outbreak, nearly half the inhabitants of the city were dead. Historians believe that this outbreak decimated up to a quarter of the human population in the eastern Mediterranean area. So who was the culprit? The bubonic plague. And that came back in the 1500s, known as the Black Death. Took a heavy toll in Europe. The fatalities were recorded at over 25 million people, or one-fourth of the entire population. Without treatment, the bubonic plague will kill about half of those infected within 3 to 7 days. Now, one of the worst pandemics we ever had was the Spanish flu of 1918. This deadly virus was identified in a U.S. military camp in Kansas. 6 months later, it was worldwide. When the Spanish flu pandemic was over, about 1 billion people had caught the disease, about half the world population at the time. It is perhaps the most lethal pandemic in history of mankind, because between 20 and 100 million people were killed. That was more than the number of World War I itself. The culprit for the Spanish flu was H1N1. Now, as you can see, when H1N1 reared its ugly head in 2009, everyone panicked. It was the same strain as the Spanish flu of 1918. However, because of today's telecommunications, internet, being able to get the word out there, and more education, the worldwide death toll for the H1N1 of 2009 was only 14,286. You see, pandemics are preventable, but a lot of people do not understand how to prevent it. Why do we panic? Think about this. If we have a 30% death rate, which is what H1N1 usually has, what would that mean in today's numbers? Well, in America alone, that would have been 90 million Americans dead in 6 months. 90 million. I know, it just sounds like numbers, but think about it. What would happen if we lost 90 million Americans in 6 months? Well, like the other plagues, there's not going to be enough time to bury the dead, so we have open mass graves, burning bodies. The U.S. mortuary system can't handle that. And who's the first ones to catch it? The medical profession. So there goes the hospitals. No medical treatment. Fire, police, they're going to break down. They're going to catch it. So you got no law enforcement, no fire safety, no EMS. Then the public service is going to start to break down. No utilities, electric, gas, sewer. Also, without law enforcement, prisons have got to open up their gates. So all the prisoners come out. Now you've got roving bandits. So this is the world you have with only 90 million Americans dead. Total breakdown. Chaos. So what are you going to do in this? You going to live off that noisy generator that you have? How are you going to refuel it? Sorry, with no power, there's no pumps, so you can't go down to the local store and get gas. Then there's the bandits to face. The one thing I do know, and I've heard the stories before, oh, I've got guns, I've got enough ammunition. No, you don't. Just by sheer numbers, they'll take whatever you have away from you. And that can include your loved ones. Think about it. If you have dreams of running and gunning like Rambo, well, guess what? You've lost the battle. Somebody's going to get off that lucky shot, and then you're dead. In a crisis like that, camouflage and concealment is your best friend. So what was the difference between the Spanish flu and the H1N1 of 2009? Education. You see, H1N1 was nothing more than a virus, just like the flu. The difference was education. We were able to get the information out there as fast as we could, and people were receptive to it. What I thought was funny, I noticed in my classes, my CPR and disaster preparedness classes went from 3 to 4 people per class to standing room only as soon as the pandemic hit. Everyone got nervous, wanted to know more about it. So we were able to get the information out there. And that was the key here. And I think all of our future pandemics, that will be the key, is information. Information is power. But we didn't do quite enough. I know a lot of people say we went overboard. We scared everybody for nothing. No, we didn't. Because had that thing really hit us, and people started getting sick and dropping dead, what would have happened? Could you have taken care of a sick loved one in your family, in your house? Do you have isolation protocols in place in your emergency plans for a sick child? Or are you just going to leave her outside and let her fend for herself when she's sick and contagious? We have to think about that kind of stuff. I know for me, my personal emergency plan, it calls for my master bedroom to be the isolation room. Why? It has a bathroom with it. Not only does it have TV and entertainment, it has a bathroom. Plus we had tarps waiting to go for isolation, a supply of N95 masks prior to the pandemic, because if you notice, with the pandemic hit, you couldn't find an N95 mask. Do you know where to buy one? Yeah, your local hardware store. It's called a dust mask. What a lot of people found out at that time was they were ill-prepared to face a pandemic. They weren't even sure what a pandemic was. They learned real quick. So these are the stuff we have to put into our emergency kits. A supply of masks. Know how to use one. Do you know how to fit test one? Real quick and easy. You cover it. You inhale or exhale. you should feel the mass collapse. If it does not collapse or expand, then you have an air leak, and it's not going to do you any good. Can you use an N95 mask more than once? Yes, you can, as long as it doesn't get wet or it's not written on. Sometimes you'll see the doctors go walking around with an N95 mask on, especially the duckbills. You'll have eyes and a mouth on it. Well, guess what? That N95 is now useless. The material has been breaking down from the ink. What about gloves? Do you have rubber gloves at home? And I'm not talking the three pairs that come with most basic first aid kits. I'm talking 100 pair, because you're going to need them. Anytime you go visit a sick child who's contagious, you're going to have to change a pair of gloves. What happens if a pair of gloves rips? Do you know how to handle that situation? And you don't know how to handle any of it until you practice it. I know during the H1N1 scare, one of my daughters came down with a high fever. See, that was the killer there. Out of all of it, the main concern was the high fever. At 105, you boil your brain. So you have to bring that fever down. You have to monitor it every hour. My one daughter came down with 104. So how do you bring down a high fever? Submerge them in ice. Prepare for shock. Plenty of fluids. See, when you have a high fever situation, fluids is what's key to prevent dehydration. See, all this works together, and we weren't prepared for that. Most people did not have a family emergency plan ready for that kind of stuff. So the H1N1, did we go overboard? Yeah. But it was a good practice. Because you know what? H1N1 was a walk in the park. 30% death rate is a walk in the park. Look at some of the things we have out there nowadays. Bird flu, SARS, 60% death rate. And that's airborne. You need an N95 mask. MRSA. Have you heard about MRSA? Now, the best way I can describe MRSA to you, now this is not in medical terminology, it's the cooties. Remember when we were kids, we were taught girls have cooties, boys have cooties? It's the cootie. We have bacteria that lives on us normally. His job is to eat off bacteria. With all these antibacterial soaps and hand wipes and all that stuff, he has nothing more to eat. He starts to eat us. Now, MRSA is deadly when it gets to the blood or bones. And it starts as an abscess. Most people don't understand what the abscess is. They ignore it until it's too late. MRSA has a death rate of 50 to 80%. 50%, now that's the low end, 50% of Americans dead from MRSA. You look at 150 million people. How to prevent MRSA? Wash your hands. Soap and water, wash your hands. Can you catch MRSA? Oh yes, you need rubber gloves. So you have to educate yourself on all the diseases that are out there. They got one out there right now. They haven't even named it. They just call it NDM1. Nondescript Medical 1. 100% death rate. And you'll notice we haven't even touched all the chemical warfare or biological warfare agents like Ryzen or anthrax. They have higher death rates. They're designed to kill. They even have weapons out there nowadays called DNA bombs. They're designed to kill certain types of people. So we have a whole gamut of things we have to worry about. But what you need to do is you need to have an emergency plan, and pandemics have to be involved with it. How to effectively isolate a person. How to care for that isolated person. What kind of equipment do you need to face this? So all emergency plans need to address a pandemic. Because you know what? It's right around the corner again. Now, HESafety.org, Common Sense Preparedness, has on its website information on pandemics, isolation protocols, and stuff like that. Go ahead and check out the website. And then do your own research. Find out what you need for your family.
You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. We are broadcasting and can be heard on theprepperpodcast.com, KPRN, BB, Block Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at CSPDB.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team. Preparing one person, one community, one country at a time. providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hoteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hoteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
This is James Smith, the Covert Prepper. Have you ever wanted to make sure you have the right news? You want to avoid all that hassle of going through fluff piece after fluff piece and politician talking about another politician? Well, you can. Visit Prepper Podcast Radio Network News, PPRNnews.com. We're the number one site for preppers to get their news. You want to know about the tyranny going on in the world? PPRNnews.com. You want to know about disaster? PPRNnews.com. From disaster, finance, extreme weather, tyranny, the unrest in the Middle East, in America, in Asia, we are the number one source that people come to get the news that matters most to preppers. The Prepper Podcast Radio Network News. Visit us today, put us on your favorite, and visit us often. I guarantee you will not be sorry.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals, has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals, heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new sponsorship from foodinsurance.com. We have looked all around at emergency food suppliers, and foodinsurance.com has become one of the most dependable and trustworthy food vendors out there. Foodinsurance.com is even offering all Common Sense Preparedness listeners special access to exclusive deals by clicking on the foodinsurance.com banner that appears on our website or by visiting foodinsurance.com/commonsense. Common Sense Preparedness finds it an honor to recommend foodinsurance.com to our listeners.
Now here's a new song from Matt Fitzgibbons from his newest album called Entitled.
Out in the woods, west of Pittsburgh is home. Since my granddaddy's days, they left us alone. We lived on the river where we made panther's breath till the marshal brought death. We had fought for your freedom from here to the east. Cleaned out the Tories till the land was at peace. And we picked off the redcoats with our frontiersman aim. Then the taxman came. The Federalists said that they paid for the war with a tax on corn whiskey distilled from us poor. That we needed some master to keep us in awe. So they declared martial law. We farmers to decided we'd stick together. So we covered some tax men with tar and with feathers. General Washington headed the army again with 13,000 men. While the gallows are built, and it seems that my country is feeling some guilt. They say we've been pardoned, now their point has been made. But you should be afraid.
Welcome back to Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program. Remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to Common Sense Preparedness at CSPDB.com. You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, an American Readiness Program. We are broadcasting and can be heard on theprepperpodcast.com. KPRN-DB, Block Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at CSPDB.com.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about the common cold for a little bit. Each year, billions of people catch the common cold, making the common cold virus the most common infectious disease known to man. You know what? This virus is extremely treatable and avoidable. We just need to take the time to understand it and how to avoid its transmission. It's estimated that an average U.S. adult typically has 2 or 4 colds a year, while children can have up to 12 a year. Now, there's multiple viruses out there, common cold, influenza, pneumonia, etc. You must know what you have in order to treat it. There's a chart on HESafety.org, Common Sense Preparedness website, that can help you determine this. However, before we go any further, I want to advise you, the information that you're going to hear about or you might see on the website is to educate you. It is not meant as medical advice. If you want medical advice, please consult your physician. Also, consult your physician before attempting any treatment that you may hear on this broadcast or find on the website. However, I will tell you this. Your doctors are your advisors. They're not gods. They have the training and they have the experience to advise you of certain situations. Always ask questions. You know your body more than anybody else. You know your body better than everybody else, including your doctors. So if it doesn't sound right, don't do it. Now, there's a widespread misconception that the common cold is caused by bacteria. It's not. The common cold is actually triggered by a virus, which means antibiotics are absolutely useless in treating the common cold. Now, one of the things you need to know in order to combat the common cold is how is it transmitted, the flu transmission. The most common way that you can contact a virus is by hand-to-hand contact or some type of physical contact. Now, hand-to-hand contact does not mean shaking someone's hand always. If the person with the flu virus on their hands touches a shopping cart, a doorknob, or something like that, and you follow right behind them and touch that, you now have the flu virus on your hands. So that's hand-to-hand contact. Studies have shown that most common flu viruses can live on pens, keyboards, coffee mugs for up to hours, and on a person's hand for even double that time. So you can see, coming in contact with the flu, it's almost a guarantee you will, but you need to stop its transmission in order to prevent it. So how do we stop transmission? Well, what we have to understand is the flu is different than the common cold. The common cold transmission route is from hand to mouth, hand to face, where the flu is an airborne particle, and you inhale that through the nose and the mouth. So you must stop transmission rate. To stop the common cold, wash your hands all the time. If you have it on your hands, you can transmit it to your mouth. You can transmit it to your eyes. And if you don't believe me, take a look the next time you're not thinking about things and see how many times you touch your face with your hands. I know when I'm in a lecture or something, I always keep my hands on my face. That's a big no-no. If you have not washed your hands, then you have a problem. Now, influenza is airborne. What will stop influenza is, one, don't put your hand by your mouth or nose, and two, wear an N95 mask. That stops the particles from getting inhaled. That also works with the bird flu and SARS. Now, one of the things we want to do during flu season, besides not touching our face, is we want to get into a habit of doing what they call the vampire cough or the elbow sneeze. The CDC and the American Red Cross have come out with these two items. And what it is basically you're going to cough and you're going to sneeze into your elbow, the crooks of your elbow. This way, if you have any viruses or germs in your cough, it's going to stop at your elbow and on your clothing. When you wash your clothing, you're fine. It's dead. It's only going to last there for a couple hours anyway, so you should be fine. Don't use your elbow to wipe your face. That would not be good. That would just transmit it. Now, there's a video up on the website at hesafety.org that you can check out, and it'll show you how to do this vampire cough or elbow sneeze. Now, the germs, both influenza and the common cold, what they like to do is they like to get into the mouth and the nose and the eyes. Tear ducts connect to the nasal pharynx, if I'm pronouncing that right. And that's the sweet spot. That's the spot in the back of your throat where your nose, your tear ducts, and your mouth connect. Once you get the cold in there, the virus or the common cold in there, if your immune system is not up, you're going to catch it. However, if your immune system is at its peak, then you have a chance of beating this. Now, one thing I want to bring to you about the viruses and the common cold is there's over 200 viruses that make up the common cold. And they're all called rhinoviruses. Rhino being the root word, which means nose. It travels through the nose. Its preferred travel method is through the nose. So let's say we get it in the nose, in the mouth. It's in that sweet spot. It's in the nasal pharynx. How do we stop it? Well, if you have a good immune system and it's not compromised, you should be able to beat this. But what compromises the immune system? Eating too much sugar and or too many grains, not getting enough rest, and I think everybody gets not enough rest. When was the last time you had 8 to 10 hours of sleep? Using insignificant strategies to address emotional stressors in your life. When was the last time you were not under stress? And a vitamin D deficiency. A lot of people, believe it or not, have a vitamin D deficiency. And that's a major cause of the common cold. Or a combination of any of the five items we just talked about. Okay, so now you think you've got the cold. What are we going to do? Well, one, avoid touching your face, especially your eyes and nose at all times. Wash your hands all the time, as much as possible. Carry hand sanitizer with you. Try not to touch public surfaces. If you do, use your hand sanitizer or wash your hands. Remember we were talking about how the germs can get on your hands and into your mouth. Get serious about sanitation. Dispose of dirty tissues promptly. The cold virus can live on them for several hours. Use hand sanitizers as much as you can. There is a homemade hand sanitizer solution on the website that you can check out. Get plenty of sleep. The more rest you get, the better your body will be able to fight off any kind of cold. Use oil of oregano. Oil of oregano is rich in vitamins and minerals and is said to reduce pain and inflammation. The second you start to feel run down, you want to pop an oil of oregano pill twice a day between meals. Optimize your vitamin D levels. Vitamin D influences many different tissues and affects a large number of different diseases because it regulates about 3,000 genes in your body. Vitamin D helps regulate your ability to fight infection, including the flu. 5 studies show that the higher the vitamin D levels lowers your risk of contracting the cold, flu, or other respiratory tract infections. We have a link on the website for more information on this. Optimize your insulin and leptin levels. Consuming grains and sugars increases your insulin and leptin levels, which contributes to premature aging and makes you more prone to disease. So you want to bring that down a bit. Exercise on a regular basis. Exercise is very, very important to the body. It gets all the body juices flowing and your heart pounding. In one study, exercise is shown to lower the risk of having a cold by 50%, and those who caught the cold, it lowered the severity by 31%. Eat most of your food raw. Americans are fond with processed food, but that contributes to epidemic of chronic and degenerative diseases, including numerous colds and the flu. Consuming food in its natural state, whole, unprocessed, and uncooked, provides your body with optimum nutrition. You gotta remember, we were designed to eat raw food. Also, practice stress management. Stress is the number one killer. It's a silent killer, because we all gotta go through stress. It's how you handle it that makes the difference. One simple treatment you can try that is surprisingly effective against upper respiratory infection is hydrogen peroxide. Many people have had remarkable results, curing a cold and the flu within 12 to 14 hours. When they administer a few drops of 3% hydrogen peroxide into each ear, you'll hear some bubbling, which is completely normal, and feel a slight stinging sensation. Now, wait until the bubbling and stinging subsides, normally about 5 to 10 minutes, then drain it through a tissue and repeat in the other ear. They're saying they've had some remarkable results to decrease the flu to 12 to 14 hours. Also, you want to avoid taking over-the-counter pain relief medication as well. Studies have shown people who take aspirin and Tylenol suppress their body's ability to produce antibodies to destroy the cold virus. Now, it only works with the cold virus, not the flu. So your body will produce its own antibodies. You need them to fight off the cold. All right, now, you've caught the cold, okay? Your immune system was down, you've caught it. How long is it going to last you? Most uncomplicated colds last between 8 to 9 days, but about 25% of them last 2 weeks, and 5 to 10% of them last 3 weeks. So up to 3 weeks. Now, if it lasts more than 3 weeks, now it's time to go see a doctor and find out what's going on. You could have a case of allergies or other things. And how quickly you bounce back from a typical cold is defined by you and your collective lifestyle habits. It does not mean popping over-the-counter pills, coughing cold remedies, or fever reducers. In fact, as long as your temperature remains below 102, there's no need to lower it. Cold viruses do not reproduce at high body temperatures, so a slight fever should help you get rid of the virus quicker and make it feel much better sooner. Some first aid for the common cold. Okay, you're going to get the cold, so you need to know how to treat this. 1. Go to bed. Plenty of rest. When you're sleeping, this is when your body repairs itself. It is also the time for your body to fight off the common cold. While you sleep, your body recharges your immune system, which is what fights off the cold. People who get 8 or more hours of sleep increase their resistance to cold viruses and get better faster when they do catch the cold. Drink plenty of water or tea, juice, and clear broth. Fluids help your body heal from a cold by loosening congestion and preventing dehydration. Number one killer is dehydration. Water, juice, clear broth, or warm lemon water with honey are the best fluids to rely on. Alcohol, caffeine, and coffee, and caffeinated sodas, man, it only makes your dehydration worse. Also, cheer up with chicken soup. Yeah, believe it or not, chicken soup. Recent studies that tested the effectiveness of chicken soup discovered that it seems to relieve cold and flu symptoms. Scientists believe chicken soup acts as an anti-inflammatory by helping the movement of cells for the immune system to mount the body's inflammatory response. Hot chicken soup also temporarily speeds up the movement of mucus through the nose, helping relieve congestion and limit the amount of time viruses are in contact with the lining of the nasal passage. And no, it doesn't have to be homemade. Researchers have found out it doesn't matter, homemade or store-bought. It's the broth and it's the steam that helps you. When you get a sore throat, make sure you gargle. Dissolve a half a teaspoon of salt in an 8-ounce glass of warm water and gargle with it to temporarily relieve a sore, scratchy throat. The reason this home remedy works is that the sore throat occurs when the throat tissues become inflamed with bacteria or germs. This inflammation takes the form of tiny fluid-filled bumps. The dehydration action of the salt draws out the fluid, killing the bacteria, which requires a warm, moist environment to survive. Now here's another one. Irrigate your nose with saline. It's called a neti pot. What I will tell you is this. Any work that you do with a neti pot, first it's got to be distilled water. Not regular tap water. It's got to be distilled water. They've had some problems with neti pots lately. So before you do any kind of neti pots, do your research, talk to your doctor, and from what my research has shown, it has to be distilled water. Another trick for a first aid bag for common colds and flus? Moisten the air with a humidifier. Cold viruses are happiest in dry environments, which is one reason colds are most common in the wintertime. Dry air also dries out the mucous membranes, which can both contribute to the stuffy nose and scratchy throat and lessen the body's ability to fend off the cold viruses. Run a humidifier to add moisture to the indoor air. And it doesn't matter if it's cold or warm. Just gotta put some water in the air. Also, one last thing I want to say is use alternate remedies cautiously. Talk with your doctor, get his advice, but vitamins and herbal medicines have little evidence to show that these work. So be very careful. Although some studies of vitamin C, garlic, zinc, and herbal combinations in airborne form have suggested promising results, most have shown little or no effect, but they can't hurt either. One of the simplest and most inexpensive vitamins that prove to boost immune functions is vitamin D. So you want to beef up on your vitamin D. Now, what are you going to do when a cold does not leave you in 3 weeks? When are you going to go over your checklist? Typically, what have you done wrong? Anything through? Did you try and skip a step? If you have, try and redo the checklist. If you've done it all, get to a doctor. Talk to a doctor. Let him see your symptoms. You might have underlying conditions. Also, through all of this, the one thing you want to watch out for is breathing problems. If you start to have a respiratory problem, you can't breathe, immediately get to the hospital. Without breathing, you're gonna die. So that is the number one thing you want to keep, is your breathing going. If you have problems breathing, get to the hospital. If you suspect pneumonia, be sure to see a doctor and get checked out. Symptoms to watch out for pneumonia, fast, shallow breathing, the feeling of not being able to draw enough breath, chest pains, coughing and wheezing that won't stop, severe vomiting, signs of dehydration such as dizziness when standing, or decreased urination, blue or purple discoloration around the mouth, mental confusion that wasn't present before the illness, convulsions and seizures. You have any of them, get to the hospital. You have pneumonia. And I know I hear a lot of people get walking pneumonia and pneumonia. These can be life-threatening situations, so get to the hospital right away.
You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. We are broadcasting and can be heard on PrepperPodcast.com, KPRN-BB, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at cspdb.com.
This is James Smith, the Covert Prepper, telling you about the Covert Prepper Show. If you want to learn how to hide your food, your weapons, your water, your dear needed medical supplies, then tune in onto Blog Talk Radio. Look for Prepper Podcast Radio Network. Look for the Covert Prepper. I'm there, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central Time, Saturday nights, where you can listen to me tell you how I figured out how I can hide my stuff. I share this with you. And I'm also undergoing a series called 300 Days to Doomsday. This is where I get people ready to, well, be ready for a doomsday. That doomsday could be the end of the world, or it could be simply as, well, you lose your job, or even worse than that, you lose your number one provider, your spouse. So listen in and visit www.thecovertprepper.com today.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hatteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals, has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals, heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new sponsorship from foodinsurance.com. We have looked all around at emergency food suppliers, and foodinsurance.com has become one of the most dependable and trustworthy food vendors out there. Foodinsurance.com is even offering all Common Sense Preparedness listeners special access to exclusive deals by clicking on the foodinsurance.com banner that appears on our website or by visiting foodinsurance.com/commonsense. Common Sense Preparedness finds it an honor to recommend foodinsurance.com to our listeners.
You are listening to Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. We are broadcasting and can be heard on PrepperPodcast.com, KPRN TV, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, BBS Radio, and at our website at CSPDB.com. Well, that about does it for this episode of Common Sense Preparedness. If you want to follow any information that you heard on this radio program or any other information, follow us at CSPDB.com. And remember, a wise man prepares for a darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness at CSPDB.com.
Using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep.
to last to see your daughters and sons, to fear the government that fears your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. Don't feel safe if you are wrong, you say gun control is using both hands. Using both hands.